For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the week that was, we got early Dodgers trade targets. We're going to talk about their issues at the plate and in the pen. We got so much more here on a live episode of Dodgers Dugout.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history. This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
That's a double for Freddie. That's number 59.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What is up, Dodgers Nation? Doug McCain here, credential member of Dodgers Media. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Now, if you're new to the channel, do us a huge favor and subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit that like button. And if you really want to be eligible for all of our giveaways, all you have to do is be sure you're subscribed and comment done down below. We're at 89,000 subscribers, just past 89K. We're closing in on 90,000. And the second we get to that 90K, we're giving away a brand new authentic Mookie Betts jersey. So just to be eligible for all of our giveaways, be sure to subscribe to the channel and comment done down below. I also want all of your Dodger takes, by the way, so you guys filing in, settle in, let me know where you represent Dodgers Nation from too. We got Aloha D-Mac from Kelly over on YouTube. We got Obey2388. What's up, D-Mac? Hello from Riverside, California. We got the Godfella, better get on it or D-Mac's gonna roll us again. Yeah, we'll talk about, we got Jason Diamond Jazz Ride. The Dodgers starting their longest road trip of the season. A 9-game roadie starts today in Washington. You got James Paxton on the mound. But of course, we start every episode of Dodgers Dugout Live with the poll question of the show. I asked you guys over on the X, who will be the Dodgers starting shortstop in 2025? I know we're looking way too far ahead. And so far, 35% say Mookie Betts, 9% say Gavin Lux, 27% say Willie Adames, and 29% say others. So a very mixed poll at the moment, but we're going to talk about the shortstop position in a little bit. Let's read some more comments before we dive into our first topic. Got Jose Martinez, sub D-Max, saying what's up from Corpus Christi, Texas. What up, Jose? What up, Val Reyes over on YouTube? Morning, D-Max, from Mike from Chino Hills, BC. Time to get revenge on the Nats. Yeah, okay, you lose to the Nationals. You drop 2 of 3 from a team that's going to be a last place team. They're going to be calling the Trashinals, the Fighting Walgreens. Is, I mean, they got to get him back. There's no doubt about it. And I think they're in a good position to do just that. A 3:45 Pacific start. Your 13-11 Dodgers going up against that 10-11 Washington Nationals team. So we'll talk a little bit about that series towards the end. But first topic for the leadoff here today. The first topic I want to talk about is yesterday. Not the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers choked that one away. They dropped a game to the Nuggets that they should have won, right? They just absolutely collapsed. They blew a 20-point lead. And why was it? Yes, they didn't finish strong. They didn't get enough from Anthony Davis in the fourth quarter. The calls were atrocious down the stretch. That wasn't a bump on LeBron James. Darvin Ham, though, bad coaching, bad leadership. I don't know if Darvin Ham is saving those timeouts. I don't know if he's saving those challenges for game 7. Maybe what are we gonna see first? Darvin Ham use those challenges or Ryan Pepiot pitch in game 4 of the NLDS? I'm not so sure. I don't know if the Lakers are going to be the first team in history to fire their coach during a playoff series, but if you ask the fan base, they absolutely would. And I know that a lot of Laker fans out there are still saying Lakers in 6, Lakers in 7. Yeah, maybe in 6 or 7 years after a rebuild, because you squandered LeBron James's prime, the end of his prime, the twilight of his career, by hiring a coach as inept as Darvin Ham. Now, how does that relate to the Dodgers? Well, Darvin Ham makes Dave Roberts look like Joe Torre, right? Darvin Ham makes Dave Roberts look like a Hall of Fame manager. Well, guess what? I got news for you. Dave Roberts, he's a good manager. He's not the perfect manager, but I think he's the perfect manager for this Dodgers team, managing egos and finding a way to keep the ship stable, right? He's got his hand on the wheel for this Dodgers team, right? They're starting to slide. You lose 6 of 9. You're losing 3 out of the last 4 series. And then you find a way to get a big, angry 10-0 win to start a road trip. Look, it could be a lot worse than Dave Roberts, right? It could be a Darvin Ham level manager. And they don't have that. And look, I personally think that Dave Roberts is someone that is going to gain more respect as he continues his journey as the Dodgers skipper. Look, there was a time when Dodgers fans wanted Tommy Lasorda out, then he ends up being a Dodgers legend. I think Dave Roberts, for a lot of Dodgers fans, he has to win 2 to win 1 for this organization. I always joke that you guys would blame him for the sinking of the Titanic. And look at the difference between Darvin Ham and Dave Roberts. A lot of people, their criticism with Dave Roberts is he does too much. He overthinks. He overmanages, right? You take the ball from Rich Hill. You take the ball from Tyler Anderson in the Padres series a couple years ago when he's cruising to a victory. You're overmanaging. We call him Captain Hook for a reason. Well, Darvin Ham, his hands are in his pockets. He's not making any moves at all. He's not using those timeouts. He's going out there and throwing a 3-guard lineup and blowing a 20-point lead and not scoring for 5 minutes. So, look, I'm just saying, I have a little more appreciation today for Dave Roberts, someone who has as many 100-win seasons to start his career as the Bobby Coxes of the world. He should be a 2-time World Series winning manager. But, Antonio, that Lakers collapse yesterday, I mean, thoughts on that?
I mean, it was pretty brutal. I was watching it with my dad. We were having such a great time. And then when LeBron hit those 2 threes back-to-back, I was like, dude, the Lakers could actually win this one. And then unfortunately, we know what happened after that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, a dark day for Laker fans. I mean, the second worst in franchise history. And also, I just want to get this out of the way. I just want to point this out. I want to get this out of the way before I see it on the timeline all day long. On this day, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s dad hit a home run, not just one, but two grand slams in one game against the same pitcher, Chan Ho Park. Okay, 1999 on this day, April 23rd, 1999, Fernando Tatis Sr., he becomes the first player in Major League history to hit 2 grand slams in the same inning, and he does it against the same pitcher, Chan Ho Park. Look, Antonio, rumor has it, Chan Ho Park is still out there on the mound. It hasn't been pulled yet. I mean, come on now. But let's read some comments here. We'll dive into our first takes. Got a jam-packed show for you guys today. I don't know if you saw the episode with Jose Mota, but really appreciate having him on. We're going to try to get him on for the Mota Mondays. And when he breaks down baseball, if you want to add to your baseball IQ, listen to every word that Jose Mota has to say. But let's listen to these comments here. A $1.99 super chat from Noah Ortega. Glasnow won an Oscar this year. Next is Cy Young. That's a fire take.
Fire take.
From Noah Ortega over there. Daniel from Tucson, Arizona. Leonardo Blanco. Hey, D-Mac, quick question for you. Why do you think there's so many empty seats? Leonardo Blanco, those seats are paid for. It's very difficult to get into Dodger Stadium. The traffic, the food, the concessions. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an eyesore, especially early in Sunday games, early in kind of weekday games. But you see those seats start to fill up as the game goes along. And look, here's the truth. The Dodgers have the best attendance in baseball. The Dodgers lead Major League Baseball in attendance. They're going to hit 4 million in attendance a year at some point in the Ohtani era. But you have the most attendance because you have the most seats. 56,000 seats is the biggest stadium, the biggest ballpark in Major League Baseball. So if the Dodgers wanted to have a nice, tight, comfy 42,000-seat stadium, you wouldn't see any empty seats. But the truth is, lots of demand, so there's lots of seats. But sometimes when those butts aren't in the seats, it definitely stands out. But they are paid for, and that's what this organization cares about. We got 951 Temecula, what up? That intro goes hard. Will, Boom. They love the new intro. New song, new intro. New intro, new us here on Dodgers Dugout Live. So anytime we get a burn, anytime we see a fire tick, anytime we see a comment of the show, you'll look for those reminders. Lakers blow. LeBum won his last chip. That's from Johnny Owen. Yeah, it's not a Lakers podcast. Just wanted to start with that. But yeah, LeBron missed a wide open three at the end of that game. But yeah, LeBron sucks and Ham is the worst coach. Jeannie Buss is terrible owner. Jason Diamond, tell me how you really feel. Tell me how you really feel, Jason Diamond. Oh, I like this one. Brian Gomez, Ham's looking into Robert's playbook. That's how we connected. That's how we add some Dodgers flavor. We need a D-Mac bobblehead. Queso Crema, I would love that. I love a Dodgers bobblehead with me. I could wear, you know, the polo, the coach's polo, the hat. I mean, I don't know. We could do something like that. We get a Antonio Bobby, a bobblehead. Ham, no title. That's the big difference. Dave isn't good. Michael Carrillo. Eric, I don't agree about Roberts. He's just not the guy. LA for life. Braun set us back, man. Palinka was getting Buddy H. Okay, so now you're getting into some granular in-depth Lakers talk. We'll do a Lakers show a little later. So Jose Mota was great from Kelly. Yeah, I love Jose Mota. One of the great baseball minds in the game. Could talk ball with him all day, every day. We got those tickets are also 500 to 1K a pop. Yeah, like I said, I mean, you gotta start a GoFundMe to get to pavilion seats these days, right? You got to put that kidney on Craigslist to get seats at Dodger Stadium. So the price is also high as well. So maybe some of those seats have been purchased and they're on the open market. But let's dive into our first topic today. And we got a jam-packed show. So first thing I want to talk about is the Dodgers strikeout problem. And that's going to be our first down of the show. And the Dodgers have a strikeout problem, and it's not okay. Okay, bruh, on that one. But 226 strikeouts on the season. That's fourth highest in Major League Baseball. 70 strikeouts with runners in scoring position. That's at a 26% clip. So when the Dodgers have runners in scoring position, there's basically a 1-in-4 chance, a better than a 1-in-4 chance that batter is going to strike out. Now, the 5-9 in the lineup, though, that is where the problem in lies when it comes to the strikeouts. 31% of the time, the Dodgers batters 5-9 are going down swinging. That's the worst in all of Major League Baseball at that part of the lineup. Max Muncy, a 34.4 strikeout rate. Teoscar Hernandez, a 34% strikeout rate. James Altman, a 30.1 strikeout rate. Gavin Lux, a 23.9 strikeout rate. That's around his career average, so not terrible, but it's a problem. It's a problem. Strikeouts are a part of the game, right? Major League Baseball, you're going to fail 7 out of 10 times and you're great. You're a Hall of Famer. But this issue is just not putting the ball in play. Just for example, look at Saturday's 6-4 loss to the Mets. They go 1-for-8 with the bases juiced. They struck out 6 times in those situations. So the problem there is watching those situations, the Dodgers hitters, they're doing things that are uncharacteristic to what we've seen in previous seasons. They're expanding the zone. They're offering at pitches off the plate. They're trying to hit 20-run home runs, right? To try to get their numbers back, to try to get their season on track. And unfortunately, when you got guys slumping at that part of the order, it's going to be an issue, and guys are going to start pressing. Now, on a positive note, the Michelotta have full take on this is, look, we've proven that they can do it. We saw what they did on Sunday. They went 5-for-11 with scoring with runners in scoring position. They went 5-for-7 in the inning alone where they scored 8 runs in the fifth. So they struck out 5 times in the game too. So there were some positive signs. Struck out just 5 times. They go go 5-for-7 in that 8-run fifth inning. So definitely some positive signs in the right direction, but like someone commented on YouTube yesterday, swing smarter, not harder, right? Lots of hard, big swings in those situations. Unfortunately, a lot of guys that have been slumping down in that part of the order just are not being able to go up there, put the ball in play, make contact, and make good things happen. So that's definitely something I want to see in this series against the Nationals. Cut down the K's. It is not okay to have all these strikeouts in those situations. You are not going to put enough runners on base for Mookie, Ohtani, and Freddie to work with to really turn the lineup over and get this machine rolling like it can. So a couple comments here. Johnny Owen, Mookie needs to be in right field where he was a perennial Gold Glover. Johnny, we're going to touch on that in a second. So next big takeaway. And this is one that's another down. Got to give this one. Is the bullpen. 102 and a third innings for the bullpen this season. So one of my big takeaways right now is the bullpen's overworked, right? The bullpen has been used in more innings this season than any team in all of Major League Baseball. 102 and a third innings. And the Dodgers starting pitchers have gone more than six innings on just eight different occasions this year. So only eight times have we seen Dodgers starters go more than six innings. You've needed 102 and a third innings out of your bullpen, okay? What happened last year when the bullpen got it together? The starters started to go deeper into games. They weren't taxed as much. And the bullpen, since they weren't as worn down, they started to perform better. Just look at your job, okay? When you have to work more than you should be working, what starts happening? You get tired. You start talking crap about your boss. You don't want to be there. Your performance suffers, right? They're just like us, okay? When they're overworked, they don't perform as good. And yes, some of these guys, they have to perform better. The Alex Vesias, Joe Kelly's had some nice appearances. Daniel Hudson has given up some big home runs in big spots, some of them after an error, right? Some of them after not really being sharp early in that appearance. But he's been, for the most part, definitely better than expected coming off that injury. But really, outside of Evan Phillips, all these guys have been inconsistent throughout the start of the season. You need Brusdar Graterol back. You need Blake Treinen in there. JP Fireisen is not the pitcher they hoped he was going to be early on. But that's a big key. You have to reduce the usage of the bullpen. I mean, if their cell phone is at like 4%, right, battery, they're like on vacation, they can't find a charger, right? They need to get back to fully charged, man. You got to optimize this bullpen. You can't overwork them. Okay, now, next big topic we're talking about is Andy Páez. And this is a positive, so let's hit him with this one. Dun, 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 dun. So Andy Páez is becoming undeniable. And I know that Jason Hayward is a very big part of this Dodgers clubhouse. He's best friends with Freddie Freeman. They're BFFs. There's a picture of them right over Freddie's locker, and they're smiling. He has a big voice in this locker. He understands situational hitting. He's a veteran. He knows when you need to put the ball in play. But Andy Páez has that potential that you just can't deny. I saw on Twitter a side-by-side of him and Justin Turner and their setup, their approach at the plate. You've heard comparisons to Jay Buhner. These are all great MLB hitters. And what Páez brings is he absolutely scorches the baseball. He tears the cover off the ball when he makes contact. In Sunday's win, he had a double and a home run. He had his first home run of the season. And with Jason Hayward, he's still dealing with that back soreness. He's going to have to complete a minor league assignment before he's activated off that 10-day IL. Doesn't feel like he's responding as quickly as they hoped he would be. And he's not going to get Wally Pipped, okay? Jason Hayward is going to get an opportunity. But I think if I'm the Dodgers, I know, look, if I can spot talent out of a moving train when it comes to these hitters and the Andy Páez types, and you can too. It's not hard, right, when you have a talent like that. You have to give him an opportunity to get into a slump, right? He needs more runway. And one thing I want to say, too, is every time I see Andy Páez do something good, I'm laughing. I'm laughing because I'm thinking of Artie Moreno and the Angels. Can you believe that? I mean, Páez would have been an Angel in that Jock Peterson-Ross Stripling trade. Luis Rengifo would have been part of that trade. And what happened? Artie Moreno grew impatient. Artie Moreno said it wasn't all impatience. There were other things involved too. I just would rather not talk about it. That wasn't going to happen, and it's not happening. So that sounds like someone who's mad. That sounds like someone who is inept at owning a baseball team. And every time I see Andy Páez, I think of the future Angels legend that never was. Okay? And guess what? He helped us dodge another Pedro Martinez, another Yordan Alvarez, another possibly Michael Bush, a trade where you regret it. So thanks again. I want to thank you, Artie Moreno, for your impatience. I'm a little upset, though, a little bit, because Rengifo, he did get that hit off of Clayton Kershaw and broke up that perfect game a couple of seasons ago, but it's a little bit of a butterfly effect. And the Dodgers were also able to get Bruce Dark Gratterall. So when it comes to Andy Páez, I love what I'm seeing so far. The strikeout numbers are going to be high at times, but you have to allow him to get into a slump, allow teams to adjust to him to see if he can adjust back, because this is a player that has the potential to be a special bat. We got Jay. Hey, Doug, dropping in from work while I'm on lunch. Should we be worried about Walker Buehler? So I'll give you a quick nugget on Walker Buehler. Should we be worried? I would say no. I think that it's all a part of the process. Remember, when a pitcher is going through a rehab assignment, it's because he is not ready to go, right? As long as you're rehabbing, you're still working things out. You're still trying to get fully healthy. Dave Roberts said that he's going to continue his rehab assignment Wednesday at AAA Oklahoma City. So we said after his last start that he was going to need a couple more. He talked with Sportsnet LA, and he just has to find the breaking stuff. And I think the curveball, the slider, the cutter, I mean, those secondary pitches, he was missing with location. The fastball velocity, though, sitting at around 95. To me, that's encouraging. It's just about putting the finishing touches on his rehab and just getting more comfortable and getting that feel back. I think it didn't help the conditions there. It was a windy day, and you had the ABS. He didn't like the automated balls and strikes. He had a lot of borderline pitches that in the show could have gone his way. So am I worried about Walker Buehler? I'm actually encouraged by Walker Buehler because they're not going to rush him back. That's one thing that this organization isn't going to do with a player like Walker Buehler. So I think that no one knows Walker Buehler more than Walker Buehler. So when he steps onto that mound in a Dodgers uniform, that tells me that he's saying that he's absolutely 100% ready to go. So not worried. Definitely think that this is a good thing potentially long term, because had he just cruised through these rehab starts, maybe you rush him back, he has a bad couple starts, and then some doubt creeps in and you're working things different ways. So I'd rather feel really good about him being as close to 100% ready. And I think that's what this accomplishes. Nando, D-Mac, trade for Scooble and Mason Miller, and this team is lit. Two good names. I think the Tigers, I mean, surprise team early. They're going to try to contend in that division. Moose 1032. I watched Buehler in OKC. His location was way off. Moose 1032. Yes, and that's what I've heard from scouts down there too. The location was way off, and that is typically what you see with guys coming back from Tommy John surgeries, coming back from major arm injuries. It's the feel, and that tells me when location's off, but velocity is still there, that's something that can be corrected with mechanics, with release points. And that's something that Walker Buehler is going to do. I guarantee Walker Buehler is going to pitch better in his next rehab outing, and that he has explored every single possibility to get himself ready to go. So I'm not worried. I really am not. So next big takeaway, let's talk about some Gavin Lux. Talk about Gavin Lux. So if you watch Saturday's game, Ken Rosenthal, he was covering the game for Fox, in a very interesting nugget about Gavin Lux and how long of a runway the Dodgers are going to be giving him. Here, listen to what Ken Rosenthal had to say.
With us, Ken, you've been waiting a while. Hello, Ken.
Guys, how's it going? Gavin Lux is still in the Dodgers lineup because the club is convinced that he's going to hit. Now, it hasn't happened yet, and I asked Dave Roberts about this yesterday, and he said normally with a veteran player, you have to give him 100 at-bats before you evaluate his performance. With Lux, because he missed all of last year, they're going to be extra patient. 150 at-bats is the number.
Yeah, coming back from that ACL, Kim.
So you heard it right there, 150 at-bats. And for a couple weeks now on this show, I've been saying, give me 150 plate appearances to 200 plate appearances, and then we'll truly assess how he's looked at the plate so far. Now, if you saw yesterday's episode with Jose Mota, we kind of broke down Gavin Lux. And what Mota was saying is it's more of a lower body issue with Gavin Lux, not trusting his legs and putting weight on that surgically repaired leg, and he just looks a little bit out of sync. And yeah, if you look at his at-bats, you're not seeing the same quick twitch, explosive, decisive swing as we saw a couple seasons ago when he was an above average bat, when he was getting on base, when he was using that speed. But 150 at-bats for Gavin Lux. So that is what Ken Rosenthal is reporting as far as when the Dodgers will make an evaluation on him. And look, make no mistake about it, he just has not gotten it done so far. And we're just at 61 at-bats. So we still have a long way to go to really put this all into context and put this into perspective as far as where the Dodgers are going to go. But through 61 at-bats, the numbers, I'm going to throw some numbers at you. And unfortunately, they just haven't been anywhere near what we'd hoped they would be. I mean, 61 at-bats, 67 plate appearances. He's 9 for 61 with one double. He's hitting 148, has a 224 on-base percentage. He's slugging 164 with a 388 OPS. Now, if you look at some of his Statcast metrics, he's in the 1 percentile in barrel percentage. Hasn't barreled up a ball all season. The expected batting average in the 36th percentile. Expected slug the 9th percentile. Really, the good thing is he's not chasing. He's in the 91st percentile in chase rate. And also, he's been a really good second baseman. He's in the 95th percentile in outs above average at 3. So second base, he's done a really, really nice job. Unfortunately, he just has not been hitting the ball hard. He's a below average hitter when it comes to strikeout rates in the 36th percentile. And just, he's hitting nothing hard. Everything is soft off the bat. And it's unfortunate because you are hoping for a hot start, because a couple of seasons ago, like I said, hit 276, had a 114 weighted runs created plus. He was around a 3 WAR player. But if he can't find it, if he cannot figure things out at second base offensively, and we're 150 at-bats into it, and he's still putting up these numbers, then I think it's time to explore some options. And I think it's a tough conversation to have. And it's definitely not fun because this is a former top prospect. But at that point, I think you definitely have to have some tough conversations. And I think it's an easy fix. It's an easy, easy fix. It's simple. You move Mookie Betts back to second base where you still preserve his legs. He doesn't have to run from right field to the dugout 9 times a game. He doesn't have to dive. His range hasn't been the same since that hip injury, right? And he can focus on just being a great hitter that plays second base, that's on the dirt. Let's not forget, he came up as an infielder, and if it weren't for Dustin Pedroia, he wouldn't have been in right field anyway. And then you move Miguel Rojas back to shortstop full-time, and then guess what? You have a top-5 defensive shortstop at that position. To me, it feels like with Miguel Rojas, it's like having a Porsche in the garage defensively and you're not driving it enough, right? I mean, offensively, we know what he is. He's not going to be a great offensive player, and that's never going to be the case. Even though he's hit a couple home runs early on, he could be respectable, but there's like 5, 6, 7 guys on the planet that can play shortstop defensively like Miguel Rojas has, and you have that guy on your team as a backup. So that has to be the first option. And look, I know Mookie, he's 9th in defensive B-WAR right now. He's been respectable at the position. He's been above average at times. The backhand has improved. He had a couple of errors in the Mets series that led to key runs, costly runs. He had a really nice scoop from Freddie Freeman that saved him from another error. And to me, it's just not sustainable when you consider that you still have 8 more years of Mookie. You're trying to preserve as much value as you can out of him, and having him at shortstop north of 30, it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me when the second baseman, Gavin Lux, who you're trying to get offensive production, you're trying to have him be on base to score runs, is not producing, and then you have an in-house option like a Miguel Rojas that isn't being used. He's underutilized. I mean, you could go kind of mid-range there and you could platoon Rojas and Gavin Lux, and you could do what they're doing now and have Mookie going from shortstop to second base, and you platoon those two guys when there's a lefty on the mound, Gavin Lux sits, and you go that route. But at that point, then is Gavin Lux getting those consistent at-bats? I'd rather just give Gavin Lux as many consistent at-bats until you get to the 150 to 200 at-bats, and then you truly have enough of a sample size to point to, okay, what's going on here? What's going right? What's going wrong? What are the positives? What are the negatives? Has options if he wants to go down to the minor leagues to try to figure out that swing, figure out that time, and get his confidence at the plate back. Or hopefully, look, best case scenario, what I'm rooting for, number one, is that Gavin Lux finds it at the plate. Everything starts to click. I mean, the at-bats have been better. He drew a couple walks the other day. He's gotten on base. But until he starts hitting the ball harder with more regularity, I'm going to still have some concerns. But hey, like I said, a gruesome injury. He deserves the time, right? But if he isn't able to come through in those situations, they have their options. But let's read your comments. I want to hear what you guys have to say. I know that was a lot on Luxy in the shortstop situation. But look, for me, Mookie Betts, as great as he is, can he play shortstop? Yes. Is it the best thing for this team? I don't think it is. I truly don't think long-term having him play the entire year. I just have never been on that train. You guys know, I planted my flag early on that. I was opposed to it then. I'm opposed to it now. It's not because I don't think he can do it. He's proven he can. He absolutely has proven he can. But let's read your comments here. Páez over Albin. That's from Mike. Play Páez over Altman. We got Mitchell Hopkins. Look at Acuna 1 year and 2 years after his surgery. I'm just saying, please don't give up on Lux. No one's giving up on Gavin Lux. I still think there's a decent shot that he can be the player he was a couple seasons ago, right? That's a player that it's above average offensively, can get on base, can score runs, and the defense has been really, really good. I'm not saying that's not a possibility, but considering how win now this team is, if you're not getting that production early on, you're going to have to make some difficult decisions at some point. We got Roy Estrada. Mick Muncy should bat ninth. Can we go down a little bit on that one? And if he walks, the top three can knock him in, and we can have Mick Muncy at bat with Risp. I mean, look, it's an interesting take. I think they like him in the middle of the order as a bopper. They're trying to somewhat stagger the lefties and righties anytime it kind of makes sense. But I think that he's going to be right there in the middle of the lineup, and he does damage, and they're just waiting for that next Muncy hot streak. Hey, D-Mac, why couldn't we send Lux and CT3 to AAA for hitting assignments? Well, CT3 doesn't have any options, so you can't do that. And Lux, yes, they could, theoretically, if they wanted to. That could hurt his confidence, though. I mean, that could be damaging to Lux. I mean, I don't see why. I think, for me, he needs to hit big league pitching. But trade Lux for a UCLA license plate? What? Mitchell Hopkins, I like Páez, but he has options. That makes him movable. I would say keep Jace on the IL until Páez slumps and then activate Jay. Mitchell Hopkins, right now, as soon as Jay is available, barring any other injuries, there's no doubt about that's 100% what they're going to do. But I don't think this is the end of Andy Páez. I think that the talent that he's shown, his ability in this small sample size, sometimes you just know. It sounds different. The swing's different. And that's a big league hitter. That's a big league hitter. I'm convinced of it. And I just don't want to see him go to another team. I don't want to see the Dodgers not take advantage of some of their in-house talent. So fake Ohtani in the house with the Páez Vargas 2.0. Let's do some more. CTC. Okay. Binky. Luis Robert to the Dodgers, White Sox are embarrassing. Luis Robert, hey, I mean, that's a natural trade chip, a natural trade partner. That's insane. Feels like Lux has had a million at-bats. That's for Maddie Mandodge. Ocean View Coffee Shop. I don't know. The NL West will be a dogfight all year, in my opinion. Just another part of LMO. Love how even the clip Lux managed to get out. Oh, did he? That's messed up, bro. That's messed up for you to point that out, man. So Lux is Arias without the contact, LOL. So I've gotten this question from you guys about Luis Arias. Should the Dodgers trade for Luis Arias? We know the Marlins, they are a train wreck. They haven't been a good organization for quite some time now. But I mean, with Arias, he's one more year of team control after this season. He's in his second to last year of arbitration. He has gone off to a slower start. He's hitting over 300 in the last few weeks. Defensively, he's not great, but look, Arias, I mean, he puts the ball in play, all right? I mean, that's what he does. And for a team like we talked about at the top of the show that struggles in situations to put the ball in play, would you be getting another dynamic, getting another club that you can put in those bags where you can say, you know what? He brings something different, a different element to this lineup to switch things up. Now, this is just for fun, right? This is just a way too early trade target possibility because I see you guys asking me down below. Well, look, Arias, he strikes out only 9.3% of the time. Last season, he struck out just 5.5% of the time. For his career, 7.6% of the time. So if you're looking for someone that can hit over 300, won't hit a ton of home runs. Last season, he hit 10, but, I mean, Gavin Lux hit 6, right? So the home run department, he's not going to knock your socks off or anything like that. But, yeah, as far as being a bat-to-ball hitter and having contact skills, he does have that. So there is no doubt about that. So Luis Arias, should they trade for him? It's still early. If they're going to trade for him, who have I been talking about for a long time? I've been talking about Tanner Scott. And Tanner Scott is a left-handed reliever that, and the Dodgers don't care if they're lefty or righty. They just care if you can get guys out. And a lot of guys that they have proven. I mean, Brian Brazier, when he was good, he'd get out lefties with the cutter. Blake Treinen's been good at getting lefties out with the Dodgers. Evan Phillips, Bruce Dargratterall. They have a lot of guys that can get out lefties. But if you want a really, really good reliever that is not off to a great start, and you could pair him with a Luis Arias, maybe just spitballing down the road, maybe they go that route. But I don't love the idea of Arias because if you have Arias on the Dodgers, I mean, you basically are in a situation where Mookie has to be your starting shortstop. And then you're not utilizing a Miguel Rojas, right? So, yeah, for me, I'm just not big on it. I'm not big on the idea of a Luis Arias on the Dodgers. I'd much rather see if somehow, some way, Willy Adames becomes available. But unfortunately, what I tell you guys at the beginning of the season, the teams you have to root for are the Dodgers, whoever's playing the Giants, and whoever's playing the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers are 14-7 in first place in the National League Central. They're
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running. Everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Not trading Willy Adames anytime soon, but if he does become available, Willy Adames would be a fit not just for this year, but I think that if you're going to trade for Willy Adames, you almost have to find a way to extend him because the Dodgers, they do not have very many shortstop options in play at the minor league level. I don't think Mookie Betts is going to be a shortstop when he's 31 plus going 32 next season. No, it just does not make a lot of sense. But I'm telling you, man, Willy Adames would fit in with this team. Kind of the opposite of Arias in a lot of ways in the strikeout rate's higher, but check it out. His strikeout rate for his career was 27.4%. This year, it's 19.1%. So he's actually cut down his strikeout rate. The weighted runs created plus is at 143. He's hitting 301, three home runs. So Willy Adames has gone off to a great start. He's still playing great defense. We got, someone asked me about Nolan Arenado. So we got an Arenado. Should the Dodgers trade for Nolan Arenado? Look, the thing, okay, this is Leonardo Blanco. Hey, D-Mag, are you thinking Arenado or Burns or even Adames at the trade deadline? Look, I think with Burns, I mean, that Orioles team, they love him there. And that team is built to make a run. I think you look at the American League East, and that's definitely one of the more competitive divisions in baseball. Lots of talent. And look, I mean, who's their competition? The Yankees, going to have a good start. Even so, Orioles sitting at 15-7. They're not trading Corbin Burns. But Arenado, it'll be interesting. I mean, the Cardinals, they're last place in the Central, 10-13. At some point, the Cardinals, if they want to shake hands with the enemy, and that enemy being the Dodgers because they're longtime NL rivals, look, Nolan Arenado, if he wants to push for a Dodgers trade, talking about around $100 million, something like that, for Arenado, and a guy that defensively shores up your third base spot. And you would have to possibly, obviously, most likely, move Max Muncy to second base. And Muncy hasn't played second base in a couple of years now. Does he have the range to play second base is kind of my question. So that would be a tough decision. Nolan Arenado, though, I will say, if you look at it, the year he's had so far, he's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start by his standards. But still, I mean, he's still an above average bat, 105 weighted runs created plus. He's hit just one home run, hitting 289. But can you imagine the injection of life, the hype that he would feel if he got traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers, being a kid from California? So, hey, it's something to consider. The decision would have to be, what do you do with Max Muncy? But can you imagine Arenado, Rojas, or Mookie? I mean, can you imagine? Look, solidifying that side of the infield would be definitely something to discuss. So very interesting takes out there. So a couple more. And actually, coming up next, we got some more big takeaways. And then we're going to do the seventh inning stretch. We'll take more of your questions here on Dodgers Dugout Live. Are back. Welcome to Dodgers Dugout Live. So another big takeaway from last week. Mute himself. Another big takeaway from last week is Blake Snell. So we talked a lot about Blake Snell this offseason. A lot of you guys wanted to sign Blake Snell. I stood firm and I said, guys, we don't want Blake Snell. Okay. Yes, he's a lefty. Yes, he's coming off a Cy Young season. What I point out, two Cy Young seasons, outside of that, never received one Cy Young vote. And the BABIP numbers, the expected numbers, the defense behind him in San Diego was elite all season long, right? I didn't want Blake Snell in the Dodgers, and I do think that if there was any talks between them at the very end on a one-year deal, look, we know he can get hot, and he also got off to a slow start last season and was outstanding down the stretch and took home another Cy Young award. But, man, he's gotten off to a slow start down there, up there in San Francisco. So, hey, I'm telling you, man, okay, I was clamoring for Blake Snell. I was not. Go to my very first free agency special. I said at the right price at the end, if they want to do it, I'm not going to be mad at it, but I wasn't pounding my fist saying, oh, we need Blake Snell. That's just, the people who watch the show know that. So yeah, what are your takes though? Do you guys think that he's going to turn his season around? I find it very interesting when you look at the quality of starting pitching out there and the names that were available, Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell. It's difficult. I mean, from year to year, guys are going to get off to slow starts. I still think Blake Snell can have a fine season, but it's going to be interesting to see how it's just kind of unlucky for him. When you look at the market that was in place for him, and it wasn't as robust because of the regional sports network issues and things like that. I really feel bad. I really think he should have at least signed a $150 million deal, something like that. And I still really like Blake Snell. I will say that, but found it very, very interesting. Now, you look at this Dodgers team this series. We're going to preview that just a little bit. Tonight, you got James Paxton going. He'll be on the bump for your Dodgers. It's James Paxton bump day. And reason he's starting on Tuesday is because they shuffled the rotation a little bit. Tyler Glass now, he was the stopper. He was the ace that took the ball and was dominant. Eight innings, scoreless. He was fantastic. And what they did was that gave James Paxton some extra time. So he will have 8 days between starts tonight. And that's a big factor, okay? 70 career starts with 4 days of rest. James Paxton, a 4.11 ERA. When he has additional rest, he's a 3.33 ERA. So I'm expecting a big outing from James Paxton. He struggled with the walks. The fastball didn't have that same carry that it did. So look, I think for me, I like James Paxton tonight to have a big game. I think he goes out there, gives me over 5.5 strikeouts, puts his Dodgers in a position to win the game. And then I'm very excited to see second thing I'm really excited to see this series is I want to see Landon Knack again. Landon Knack's getting the start Wednesday, and then Yoshinobu is getting the start on Thursday, and he'll have 5 days of rest in between starts. So you got Paxton, you got Knack, and you got Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And we'll talk a little bit more about Yoshinobu Yamamoto later in the week. But right now, that's where we're at. with your boys in blue, and let's focus on just you guys. Do a little seventh inning stretch here where we answer all of your questions for the rest of the way. We got Jonah. Who will the Dodgers send down when Walker, Catman, even D may come back? I mean, look, they're going to play the option game, and they still have the injured players that they're dealing with. I mean, Andy Páez, he has the option. Landon Knack, he's got the options. I mean, when it comes to the roster construction that they're currently dealing with, that's what you're going to see them do. You're going to see them shuffle guys, shuttle guys from AAA to the major league level, and that's what you're going to see. We got LA for life. D-Mac, what do you think about Juan Soto to the Dodgers next year? LOL. I think that you can never rule out the Dodgers for anyone. They need an outfielder. We'll see what happens this season. They also have a glaring need at shortstop. If they were to trade for Willy Adames, could you sign him to a Dansby Swanson type of contract? Could you sign him to something like that? I mean, for me, I would, that's something, or I mean, Swanson around $177 million on a 7-year deal. Do they give Gavin Lux another opportunity at shortstop? Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but you got to focus on that. Also, Walker Buehler is going to be a free agent. Do you want to solidify that? So, yeah, I mean, for me, It's Juan Soto. He's looking for $500 million. Doesn't seem like it's a fit, but they do need an outfielder. And his Dodger team, man, they're Galacticos, right? I mean, they're the Deedles. And you could add another one. D-Mac, I think you would be a great voice to be calling Dodger games, CJS. Hey, man, shout out to Steven Nelson and Joe Davis. Those guys are the best. But here's the thing. I'm too opinionated for that. You know what I mean? I'd be yelling. You know, I'd be like, you know, dropping fire takes, bruhs. You know, it's tough. I mean, a lot of the broadcasters, you really don't know how they feel about certain things. Right, Antonio?
Yeah, I think I'd be the same way, dude. I'd just be like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, we did it. Clapping in the press box. Tough to be objective, but yeah. I mean, hey, appreciate that though. Catnip. So, how long does the 2020 ring save Dave Roberts? What's the excuse if we don't win a World Series this year? I mean, it's a good take. I mean, I think the excuse. I mean, if are they going to be injured? I mean, how about they win? How about no excuses and they just win? I don't think he's living off that 2020 World Series ring. This organization told Ohtani that the last 10 years was a disappointment. So they clearly don't feel that way. Mike Lerma, Dodgers will go on a run before June. Only a matter of time. Absolutely. Death taxes and the Dodgers dominating in the summertime. Okay, we know it's coming. Matty Mandodge, give Rojas a month at shortstop. See what he's got. Look, I mean, they kind of know what they have in him, right? Even if he doesn't perform well offensively and he's just mediocre, I mean, there's a lot to be said when it comes to having a shortstop that can solidify that position. But let me dive into some more comments here because you guys are lighting up. And I read all the comments too. We're going to start featuring comments on the next show going back. So definitely leave as many comments. Post-game show today, BC, you know it. Join me for the Dodgers Nation post-game show right after the game. We're going to be breaking it all down. So for sure, we're going to be rocking a post-game show today. We're going to try to do as many as we possibly can, even at the stadium. Snell, no. That's from One-Eyed Dragon. That's a fire take. I'll give you that one. Blake Snell's been getting rocked, LOL. We got Blake Smell. Yeah, he's getting Blake shelled. Boomer Assassin, Snell 420. I like Blake Snell. I'm not going to lie. Hater has an 8 ERA. D-back for her VP of baseball operations, Leonardo. I would push all the chips in, man. Parades over prospects. I don't know if I'd be a good GM, but I could give, you know, I'm good at, I don't know if I'd be a good VP, but I'd be good at giving opinions about what the VP does. Snell didn't get a spring training run. That's a great point right there. I mean, it's a really good point, and it's true. It's going to take him some time, but yeah, we'll see how it all pans out. Brian Gomez, nobody wants to play for the Giants. He's probably wanting a trade done, but that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC underscore LA. Hey, DMAC, Lakers taking it in 6 or 7. Man, let's go 6 years from now after a rebuild. Now, I'm just playing with you. Lakers in 6. Why not? How about this? Just let's get a game against the Nuggets, and that'll be my championship, okay? Sick of losing to the Nuggets. 10 straight to Denver. Jessica, we got Soto's a Yankee for life from Justin Lamas. No manager has done less with more than Dave Roberts from Eddie Pena. Yeah, you're trying to basically call him the Calipari of baseball. But I'll read this lineup from Justin Lamas. One bet, Arias at second base. Two bets in right field. Three, Otani, DH. Four, Freeman at first base. Fifth, Smith at catcher. Teo in left. Muncy at third. Páez in center. Rojas at short. It's a pretty juicy lineup there, Justin Lamas. But that's going to do it, guys. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. We'll be back with you tomorrow, Monday through Friday. Don't miss any episodes here for sure. DMAC, what's your favorite section to sit in? Throw me in the left field pavilion, because that's how we get down in the left field pavilion. But no, I also like Loge. Loge 115 is really, really solid. I love Loge 115. Press box lately has been pretty fire, been up in the front. So shout out to those seats. So yeah, Loge 115. Pavilions. Look, the great thing about the Dodger Stadium setup is the cantilever theory, how they built it. You can literally fold it in half and it's symmetrical, but there's no obstructed views the entire stadium. But of course, we're going to end the show and go to my man, Antonio, our super producer here. Where's your favorite place to sit at Dodger Stadium, Antonio?
Oh, I love Section 53 right by the home bullpen. Always seen the players warm up. I've seen probably Clayton Kershaw there at least 15 times.
That is a great, great spot. I agree with you 100%. That's an awesome place to sit, because you get the double dynamic there for sure. But that's going to do it, guys. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. See you after the show. See you tomorrow. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.